we are continuing with the bill on fertilizer and feed. We did take a session with the department last week when submissions were presented. And then, of course, we, without having gone through a required process, we cut it short. We are submitting that we cut that process short, which was not in keeping with the rules of running a bill. We had subsequently consulted with the state law advisor and also our parliamentary legal person, Yolanda and Gary respectively, and also our own staff here, and agree that we need to continue with process as we had initially planned. There was also an issue about tagging, which we felt that the state law advisor must go away and come back. We are then going to follow a process as follows. Number one, in principle, we are still to go ahead with the processes of legislation. One area that we skipped, which is what I was referring to initially by saying we cut it short, was our own deliberations on the presentations submitted by the entities, or rather by the industry. We also recognize the fact that the department was given a very, very short time to respond to the issues, which we then requested that the department further goes away and brings back the responses to all the submissions that were presented by the industry players. But before we go to the legislation itself, as I mentioned, that we've had a discussion on the tagging. Initially, we had received in the actual text itself of the bill a section 75. This bill, to an extent, even the HC that they received was also indicating that action. The state law advisor then had a different view, which she then has to go away and come up to present the legal opinion, which we shall then have to receive. And then also hear views from our parliamentary legal team. Then we'll take forward from there for now. And then we still have an afternoon to ourselves, which will have to be made use of for us to look into the actual test itself. Not a test, but more the responses to the submissions presented by the different industry players, which also the department shall also be expected to present as well its own responses to the industry players. Are we fine with that understanding, members? We are fine. So without the waste of time, we shall then allow Advocate Asfahan Van Asfahan that nothing to do with Kosa. I'm comfortable more with Betty for information. Thank you. Okay. Yolandi, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair.
So sorry, did we all receive the legal opinion? Can you just get an indication for some parts who don't have a copy?
Yes,
I think it was sent electronically. Yesterday, to be precise. Just get an indication for those who do not have a copy. I think the department also wants to have a start of the copy, of the document. You have a copy.
I was just trying to give them some.
You have a copy though. Okay. DR is in charge for all the parts of another copy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members, Chairperson, ladies and gentlemen. The purpose of this presentation is basically about the tracking of the fertilizers in the feed pool. Just to give you some background on the bill, it was certified by our office on the 24th of August last year, that's 2012, introduced on 27th of November, and tagged by the joint tagging mechanism on the 31st of January 2013 as a 76 bill that affects the provinces. For the state law advisor side, our view from the beginning was that this bill must be dealt with in terms of Section 75 of the Constitution, which is a bill that does not affect the provinces. As you can see there, I've just outlined Section 75 to give you an idea of what it states, what it provides. It says that when the National Assembly passes a bill other than a bill to which the procedure set out in 74 or 76 apply, the bill must be referred to the National Council of Provinces and dealt with in accordance with the following procedure. Then it sets out the procedure in Section 75, part of which is that the NCLP must then pass the bill or pass it subject to amendment or reject the bill. So what comes out from Section 75 is that you must first establish whether it is a bill that falls in Section 76 of the Constitution. So hence we're going to Section 76 of the Constitution, which deals with ordinary bills affecting the provinces. And subsection 1 of 76 says that when the National Assembly passes a bill, referred to in subsection 3, 4, or 5, the bill must be referred to the National Council of Provinces, and that was in accordance with the following procedure. And then similarly to 75, it also sets out the procedure of how that bill should be dealt with. Subsection 2 provides that when the National Council of Provinces pass a bill referred to in subsection 3, the bill must be referred to the National Assembly and dealt with in accordance with the following procedure. We're not going to deal so much with subsection 2 at this stage. What is important is subsection 3, which states that a bill must be dealt with in accordance with the procedure established by either subsection 1 or subsection 2 if it falls within a functional area listed in Schedule 4, or provide for legislation envisaged in any of the following sections. And then it lists a number of sections. But for our purposes and for this bill's purpose, we had to consider whether the bill falls within the functional areas listed in Schedule 4. and then if we can just quickly go to Schedule 4. Schedule 4 is in the Constitution deals with the functional areas of concurrent national and provincial legislative competence, and there's a number of matters or subjects listed there. Some of these are agriculture, industrial promotion, trade, tourism. So obviously there's quite a list of subjects listed in Schedule 4, which are the functional areas. And basically what 76 does is that if it falls within Schedule 4, it must be dealt with in terms of 76. It is considered to be a bill that affects the provinces. So in tagging this bill, we've looked at all of the provisions of the bill. We've considered the case law. And basically the test boils down to we must establish whether the bill in substantial measure falls within Schedule 4 and whether it affects the provinces. So, just the background on the case law that we have considered. The first case we dealt with was the Lickable case in 2000. This case mostly deals with the constitutionality of the Lickable and mostly centered around the legislative competence. If you can remember, the president, this was the first case whereby the president referred the bill to the constitution. When a bill gets referred to the president and the president has reservations in terms of the constitution, it may be referred to the constitutional court to make a determination or an order in this regard. So, although this case mostly dealt with legislative competences, it also dealt with the executive's power to intervene into areas of exclusive provincial legislative competence, which are the areas listed in Schedule 5 to the Constitution. And why this case was important, and still is because the test for substantial measure was laid down in this case, and even though it dealt very abruptly with the tagging of bills, this is where the substantial measure test comes from. In this case, the Constitutional Court set out the test as follows. It says that Section 76(3) of the Constitution requires that a bill must be dealt with under the procedure established by either Section 76(1) or Section 76(2), amongst others, if it falls within a functional area listed in Schedule 4. Apologies. It must be borne in mind, moreover, that Section 76 is headed Ordinary Bills Affecting Provinces. This is, in my view, a strong textual indication that Section 76(3) must be understood as requiring that any bill whose provision in substantial measure fall within a functional area listed in Schedule 4 be dealt with under Section 76. So this was where the test was laid down for the first time, and as you can see, the court alluded to the fact that the heading basically suggests that the bill must affect provinces, aside from the fact that its provisions must in substantial measure fall within a functional area and not merely affect that specific area listed in Schedule 4. Then the next case we considered is the most recent one, Tongwane and others versus the National Minister for Agriculture and Land Affairs. That was in 2010. In this case, the Constitutional Court determined the proper test for tagging by adding to what was already said in the Lickable. In the case that preceded the Tongwane matter, the High Court held that in classifying the communal land rights bill for the purposes of tagging, Parliament had applied the incorrect test, namely the person substance test, instead of the substantial measure test suggested by the Constitutional Court in the Lickable case. It then refused to declare the clara invalid for failure to enact in accordance with the correct procedure. So what the person substance test basically provides is that what the bill is about, the purpose of the bill must be considered, but then they don't look at whether it substantially falls within the area listed in Schedule 4. So in this case, the court concluded then that there is a difference between determining whether the National Assembly or the National Council of Provinces has the competence to legislate in a particular field and determining how a bill ought to be tagged properly and ultimately enacted. So there's a difference between the person substance test, which is used to determine legislative competence, and then the substantial measure test, which is used for tagging purposes. And then it basically, this case just reaffirmed in the Lickable case, where it was said that the substantial measure test will be the test for tagging, and this is also the test that we use. Just a quote that I've, for your information, that I've added there from the Tongwane case once again. It says that what matters for the purposes of tagging is not the substance or the true purpose and effect of the bill. Rather, what matters is whether the provisions of the bill in substantial measure fall within a functional area listed in Schedule 4. This statement refers to the test to be adopted when tagging bills. This test for classification or tagging is different from that used by court to characterize a bill in order to determine legislative competence. This involves the determination of the subject matter or the substance of the legislation, its essence or true purpose and effect. That is what the legislation is about. So, even though the Tongwane case said that there must be the purpose of the bill must be considered, it also went further stating that there is the question of how the bill must be considered by the provincial legislatures depend on whether it affects the provinces. The more it affects the interests of the provinces and the concerns and the capacities of the provinces, the more say the provinces should have in its content. It also, Chief Justice Nkorbo also stated that the tagging of bills before Parliament must be informed by the need to ensure that provinces fully and effectively exercise their appropriate role in the process of considering national legislation. That substantially affects them. Paying less attention to the provisions of a bill once its substance or purpose and effect has been identified undermines the role that provinces should play in the enactment of national legislation affecting them. And then again, the court goes on to the person substance test to say that to apply the person substance test to the tagging question undermines the constitutional role of the provinces in legislation in which they should have a meaningful say, and it disregards the breadth of the legislative provisions that Section 76(3) requires to be enacted in accordance with the Section 76 procedure. We are of the opinion that the text used by the JCM when tagging this bill is similar to the one used as the present substance test and relates more to the question of legislative competency than to the classification of the bill for tagging purposes. And if this is accepted, as was said in Tongwani, this undermines the constitutional role of the province in legislation in which they should have a meaningful say, legislation which impacts on them. In other words, the provinces must have a say on matters that substantially affect them. The fact that the bill contains matters that are administered by the department does not mean that it therefore falls squarely within the functional areas listed in Schedule 4 and must be classified as a 76 bill that affects provinces. There may be some provisions in the bill that deal with certain agricultural products such as fertilizer and feed, what the bill is about, and others that deal with matters of licensing, manufacturing and legislation in respect of these products, but none of these provisions have a substantial impact on the provinces, since this bill merely deals with licensing, registration, prohibition, etc. on a national level. As far as I know, the only role that trade actually has to play in this bill is where the imports and the exports come into play. And there are certain prescriptions as to what the how the trade must happen, but those are only for three clauses in the bill. So it's not a substantial number of matters that would affect the provinces in our view. Just alluding to it again that we've noted the Constitutional Court's discussion also in the legal bill of what trade is, that it's the buying and selling or exchange of commodities for profit between nations, and the commerce trading conducted by passage or travel between trading parties. This bill does not regulate trade. There are two or three clauses that may deal with it. So there are elements of it, but in substantial measure it doesn't deal with trade. The Constitutional Court concluded that in accordance with its ordinary meaning, the concurrent national legislative power with regard to trade includes the power not only to legislate interprovincial in respect of the legal trade, but to do so also on all three levels of manufacturing, distribution and sale. So this was regarding liquor, and there are specific areas in the Schedule 4 that also relate specifically to liquor. So we cannot necessarily apply these provisions or this definition specifically to our bill. Our contention is that although the bill does contain certain elements of the regulation of registration and licensing of products and premises that may be used in agriculture, those elements do not in substantial measure fall in the area of trade and agriculture, as listed in Schedule 4 to the Constitution, and do not necessarily affect the provinces. The legal bill case found that a bill wrongly classified as a Section 25 matter could result in an unconstitutional bill. And then, just for the committee's interest also, in the last meeting there was a question about the difference between 75 and the 76 procedure. In the legal case, the judge also commented on the difference, and he stated that there is definitely a material difference between the two, since whether the provincial delegation votes corporately through its head of delegation as prescribed by Section 65, or individually by each member casting a vote as prescribed by Section 75(2), may in defined circumstances be determinative as to whether the NCOB is possible. So as I explained last time, there's definitely differences, and we identified three. If the NCOB objects to a Section 76 bill introduced in the National Assembly, the National Assembly cannot simply override the NCOB's objection. Instead, the bill must first be referred to the Mediation Committee in an effort to resolve the conflict between these two houses. If a decision taken by the Mediation Committee has failed to resolve the conflict between the two houses and the NCOB continues to object to Section 76 bill introduced in the National Assembly, the National Assembly can override the NCOB objection only with a two-thirds majority. When NCOB votes on a question under Section 76 bill, each province has a single vote, which is passed by the head of the delegation, and the question is agreed when at least five provinces vote in favour of the question. When the NCOB votes on a question under Section 75, however, each delegate has one vote, and the question is decided by a majority of the votes cast, subject to a quorum of one-third of the delegates. Section 76 procedure appears to have been created to reinforce the principle of multi-sphere government in the Constitution. Our view, as I stated before, is still that it must be tagged as a Section 75 bill, and our classification would not be unconstitutional. We use the Section 44(1)(a) of the Constitution, which provides that it confers on the National Assembly the power to amend the Constitution and to also pass legislation with regard to any matter, including a matter within a functional area listed in 34, but excluding subject to subsection 2 a matter in a functional area listed in Schedule 5. What we are basically stating with this is that the National Assembly would not be acting out of, would not be acting unconstitutionally by passing the bill. It's only procedure that would differ, and the voting as I explained. Bills that may impose obligations on provinces or may be subject to conflicts with provincial legislation must follow the procedure contained in 76, but this bill should not. Provincial legislatures would be burdened with matters that do not fall within the constitutionally defined jurisdiction of the provinces. It would be inappropriate to pass a bill that deals with requirements for registration and licensing of certain agricultural products and the establishment of a technical advisory council under 76 of the Constitution, merely because it deals with agriculture or trade. There is danger that part of this bill that does not contain provisions that affect the province substantially may be invalid because provincial delegates and not even individual delegates will vote on and ultimately pass the bill. Just in conclusion, I also wish to state that the JTM has already banned the bill. We are aware of that on the 31st of January as a 76 bill. And we are obviously bound by what the JTM decides. But this was just a presentation to explain to the committee what our reasoning was in banning the bill as a Section 75. Thank you very much.
Can you comment again? Can you switch off the
Thank you, Chairperson. As my learned colleague has already pointed out, that the JTM has already tagged the bill on the 31st of January, I advise or I provide a debate. Well, let me give a background to the procedures. I write a sort of classification document on the different aspects of the bill, which is then sent, which is purely advisory to the JTM. The JTM then considers that opinion and then also has their own legal advisor who then also discusses the opinion with them. Well, in terms of the rules, it's made up with legal advisors as well in the Speaker's office and in the Chairperson's office. And the concern was around the issue of trade. And I know there was a line in the presentation by my colleague that said that JTM used the potent substances, is that correct? Which is not the test that is used by the JTM. However, I can't speak for the JTM either. That said, the legal legal opinion has already been sent to the JITM. The JITM agrees that indeed this section 76 and should be dealt with in that manner. And the committee is welcome to write in its report or report to the House that it feels that the bill has been tagged incorrectly and should be tagged with section 75 bill.
As being 10 now, it is tagged as section 5.
Section 76.
Did I read 76?
75
rather?
Just the one that was on the front cover of the ball as it's printed incorrectly.
75.
It's printed incorrectly at 75.
Oh yes, that's what I'm saying. So the HC says 76.
That's correct, Chairman.
So that's the discussion we are about. Members, can we comment on this? You want to comment, left front? Sure.
No, thank you, Chair, but I also believe it's like section 75 because I can't see any inputs or voices that any influence on progress is visible. What do you think?
Mrs. Stay?
Mr. Chair, one question that I thought we must ask the department is the influence on provinces. If we have to get inspectors and people that must, say for instance we continue with the bill as it is and we adopt it, there will have to be inspectors and people visiting all these areas that needs to be monitored and checked if people apply. Will those people work for the department nationally or on a provincial level? Because if they are going to be employed on a provincial level, it's definitely going to have a huge impact on the province's chest. I think that would be the fact as far as I can see it in this sense. And no wonder we are confused, Chair, because I wasn't sure if it's a section 76 or 75 because it's different on the two. So I think we need to first start there. Who printed on this document that it's a section 75? It was actually tagged as a section 76. Some way someone changed it.
Do you have any other questions or issues, members? Sorry?
Thank you, Chairperson. On cover of the bill, it is the proposed section 75 or nothing. The bill says purely proposed 75, but doesn't say it is a section 75. This is how it comes from, or how it was said to Creda by the Spit Law Advisors, and how Creda then printed it out for parliamentary purposes. The HC of the 31st of January in this case is informative and it says that the JTM tag that's section 76 form. So on the ball it says merely proposed, that's not final. The ATC is final as is a record of Parliament and it says this is how the ball is tagged by the JTM.
Okay. Mr. Abra?
Thank you, Chair. We've got three sets of legal eagles here. You've got the state law advisor, you've got the parliamentary law advisor, and I take it you have the departmental. All I would like to know, Chair, is that whichever way one looks at this particular measure, whether it's a section 75 or a 76, And if we are told that it's a section 75 after all the rigmaroles, is that how I understand it, Chair? Now my question is just that, in the opinion of these three sets of legal people, is there any chance that the province may contest once the bill has been passed? that it is a bill which should fall, which should have been Section 76 bill, because what bothers me is if you look at page 22 of the presentation of the state law advisor, you take the third bullet at the end there. It says that let's look at the whole of that bullet. It would be inappropriate to pass this bill that deals with the requirements for the registration and licensing of certain agricultural products and the establishment of a technical advisory council under Section 76 of the Constitution merely because it deals with agriculture. All I'm asking, Chair, is that if we deal with this under as a Section 75 bill, in the opinion of the three sets of legal advisors here, do they see any chance of any comebacks? That's the bottom line, Chair. If we are advised that there's no such possibility, Chair, then I think, I don't know whose job it is to see that we are advised finally as to whether it's a Section 75 or a Section 76. I take note of what the parliamentary law advisor says, that since it is, I take it that it was in the ATC. The taking was announced in the ATC. Now, Jefferson, whether at it may be that inadvertently whoever instructed the printing of the bill may have made a mistake, but we should then be guided, Chair, by what appeared in the ATC. Thank you, Chair.
I guess the issue that we are about no, not so much what the ATC says or does not say. Granted, what the opinion gets be from the state law advisor, the implication of this legislation, should it take the direction of a province and expect that play a role? What are those implications? Granted, here there could be a legislation that goes past our stage, and then it reaches out to provinces. I guess another question that has been raised relates to what if that legislation conflicts with this. I'm not sure whether I did hear anybody saying that over the hearing myself, and whether that can happen when provinces go out there having their own legislation. Is this what I'm hearing?
Sure, I'm not sure I understand you, Craig. Are you saying if the provincial legislatures then consider legislation that is similar to that at the provincial level, or how much sure?
I think
Jefferson
got that in my slide where I said that if a bill imposes obligations on a province, or if the national bill, like the one we are dealing with, has a possibility of conflicting with laws that provincial legislatures do on their level, it must follow the Section 76 procedure, because obviously then there will be quite a grave effect on what the provinces do. So we were just saying that if it imposes obligations on them, if there were to be in this bill also provincial inspectors or provincial advisors, that would definitely be a Section 76 bill, because obviously it would affect the province directly. So I think that's where the person got the provincial legislation issue from.
Any further comments, members? Or we are of the view that the ATC is spoken, therefore we're following the direction of the ATC. The ATC basically talks to this being a Section 76. That's what also hearing from Stuart, State Law Advisor, basically saying granted, Pierre was saying the same, this tagging of this, as it goes to print, it is tagged as a, as it is proposed tag for tagging. But by the time it goes through to HC, it is a final tagging, which then must inform this process. Are we fine with that? Mr. Abram?
Within their opinion, any other interested party may, if they were to challenge the tagging, what would their advice be?
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think there's any lawyer or legal advisor in the world who 100% certainty can say that someone may or may not challenge a particular bill on a particular ground. That's always something that that party or group of people might decide to challenge. That said, it's difficult to say whether someone, on what ground someone would challenge it, and it would be, one would have to consider it on the grounds of which that particular person or group of people are challenging the particular bill. If it is with regard to the tagging, there's always a chance that someone might come, which is happening now, without speaking too much about the case, two or 3 years on, and the tagging of the bill is being challenged. 2 and 3 years on, but which it wasn't challenged at the time when the bill was passed or considered by, that is my colleague Nelson, which I'm speaking. But it was 2010, I think it was. And diving further deep into the matter, the 2000 Act might have been tagged incorrectly. So that is the consideration. One can never say with absolute certainty that a party might or might not challenge the ball. If so, it has always been my personal philosophy to rather err on the side of caution and say, let's be as careful as possible. If there is a chance of challenging it, let's rather go the safest route, which I don't know if my colleagues feel the same way. I mean, because no one can say with absolute certainty, I'm purely an advisor, and someone will always find the ground on which to challenge a particular issue. That said, like I said again, and I will say again, is that my philosophy is to rather err on the side of caution.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. If I could just add to what Gary said, what can also happen, as happened in the instance that you were mentioning, is that the bill can go all the way through to the President, and the President receives a submission from a very aggrieved industry member and decides that he has reservations on whether to assent to a sign bill and then refer it to the Constitution or for further advice, only to find out that the bill was done incorrectly. So, as he said, it's difficult for us to say that someone will challenge it, but what I can say that if there has not heard of a case where someone has re-challenged a bill being tagged as a 76 on the basis that they've been burdened, you know, the province is being burdened with things that don't affect them. I've not really heard about constitutional challenges in that regard. So, if there's really this difficulty in assessing at this stage whether anyone would challenge it or not, I would go with what Gary has said, to rather, you know, tag the bill on the safe side, seeing as that it's already been tagged. That also said, what we did was basically proposing that it should be tagged as a 75. Our proposal was not accepted. It wasn't accepted after, I must also say, several opinions then from the Parliament side. What I was just attempting to come here and do today was just to explain why we had said that. And if it's this committee's wish to rather stay on the safe side, and I can predict that there won't really be challenges if taggable is a 76 rather than a 75. So your chance of having challenges because of tagging it as a 76 is less than many chances of having challenges for tagging it under 75, simply because of the participating process involved, the provinces and the voting processes. So the only, can I say, challenge in that respect would be that the provinces have been burdened with things that might not really have a substantial impact on them. So that would be my advice at this stage.
I think we, you know, the whole sort of host of names, you know, Leonard Frank, and they can really add on to the sunset. And at times, to an extent, they even bring all sorts of case studies. Equally, really being able to enhance a case, you know, or an opinion situation. So just to remind each other members, among other things that we have in the discussion, it relates to an issue that we were raising with the department and ourselves as well about consultation processes. However, this does not stop us as members of National Assembly, as we pursue this legislation, from reaching out to other provinces. Of course, we might not be able to go to all of the provinces. Perhaps having to be able to identify, you know, those few that we really feel that they can be impacted upon this legislation. We did make examples the other day about KZN, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, I think to an extent, you know, Free State. But again, you know, those must be informed, those must be informed decisions as to which specific provinces must be able to reach out to, given the magnanimity of the issues that we're dealing with in this legislation. As I said again, the issue relates fundamentally to consultation processes. I think the issue has arisen quite a lot when the industry was, you know, tailing its submissions. Once again, from time to time, you know, they would really refer to consultation process and so on and so forth. It was just a reminder for us as we move forward with this discussion. I want to believe that we are okay with this being tagged as a Section 26, to an extent we are a lot safer in that regard. It is tagged, it has been published through HEC, and I think it is always better as well when it is tagged as a Section 76 than a Section 75. And again, on this very same principle of consultation, you are better off by way of the provinces participating in the process than provinces not participating. So if the issue does arise of consultation, you are still on the safe side, if you have to go the route that is proposed. Would that be a fair summary?
Yes, Chairperson, I just want to add one more aspect, is that when I was drafting my opinion, I called Advocate Aslechen, and I spoke to her, and we spoke briefly about the history of the bill and how it came about, and to get a better understanding of how the bill should be tagged. And it is the intention, I know, of my colleague and myself as well, that we give Parliament the best advice that there is, that is out there, and also that the party empower Parliament to make proper decisions. So that is how we proceed, or the point from which we depart when we tag bills, or when we look at legal advice for the institution.
Members, we have concluded on the matter. On the tagging, we are now told that she is ready. What our appeal for members is to go grab and then come back instead of breaking. We can quietly for those of us who are closer to the door, whilst we continue, because it is just about to be last time. Okay, we have a draft summary that pulls together a whole host of commentaries on the bill itself, rather on the submissions. We did receive all the, all of us on this one. Maybe what I would propose we do, precisely because we never got enough time from the department to present, precisely because of the challenges that we were confronted with. Having just had the industry players presented their submissions, and then the department was expected to respond almost promptly. What I propose we do, we just allow the department to conclude on its presentation, rather on its responses, and perhaps I give the department 15 minutes to do that, and the members we can then come in. Is that fair from your side?
Yes.
Okay. We can, some of us, quickly out, quietly. You ready? Whilst the department is getting itself ready, our constant advisor, Nokzola Mkashe, she's not with us today. She's attending to the doctor after having been marked next to where she stays. That was Gateway's today. Sunday. Yeah. She then had to attend to the doctor. I did talk to her yesterday. But she's getting better. The only apology that we have are from Mr. Gaylor and Mr. Van Dalen. They are both written apologies. As we always say, we only accept written apologies. An apology from the minister did come, we are not accepting it. Why is the deputy minister not coming to our committee meetings? No, it's just a question up in my mind. Can we take the chair and present? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And honorable members, my name is not Redich. I'm not the DG. My name is Jonathan Motsunga. I'm responsible for the regulation of pesticides, stock remedies, and animal feed and fertilizer. Currently, the functions mainly reside at national, and I think the debate around where the bill needs to be checked and to what extent province will in future be involved in the regulations of pesticides, animal feed and fertilizer. I'm with Dr. Gupta. He's the acting deputy director within our department. Dr. Mutisane could not join us because he's in Geneva. What I'm going to present today, basically the issues that have been raised last week. Before I start, I must indicate that what we have focused on mainly last week has been the challenges that people foresee with this bill. So I thought today I'll want to present the benefit of this bill. From where we are sitting as department, we believe that by having safe and quality feed and fertilizer, we will be contributing to healthy animals, healthy people, and environment. Because we need to realize that there is a direct link between agricultural production inputs, activities, and a number of concerns relating to environmental issues. So we believe that by introducing this bill, we should be contributing to issues of health, to both environment, animals, and the people. Now,
one of the major challenges that face regulators, not just in South Africa, is the efficiency and effectiveness of the regulatory system. Because sometimes people think that the challenge is only in South Africa. You can go all over the world. That is the biggest challenge. So we believe that by shifting from product registration to licensing facilities, we would be making improvement in terms of the efficiency and effectiveness. You can imagine, if you have got a company that have got 500 products, as DAP we are saying, we don't want to register each individual product. We only want to give you a license, one license that will deal with all your products. We believe that by shifting to facility registration, it will ensure that you improve efficiency and effectiveness of the regulatory system, because the industry keep on growing and the needs of the public keep on changing. So there is no way a regulator will be able to keep with the pace of the changes that are required by both the industry and the public. Hence, we are moving to the facility registration system. Now, majority of comments that we received, this is just the categories of the comments that we received. We have received that are in support of the bill, because that is very important that we need to make this point, because there are stakeholders who support this bill. There are stakeholders that do not support this bill, and that has been coming since 2009 when we started this process. Those that support the bill, they need further clarification. I think that is what has been discussed here. And they also have made additional inputs. Now, the question that was coming from the floor or from the committee members was, why DAF did not include these inputs that are coming right now? And I will explain that part. And there are issues around editorial. The big issue is on the consultations, so I will touch on that. And then one issue that came from honorable members is the capacity and the implications of this bill. The first issue is around those that support the bill. We had ARC from the submission that we received. ARC, AFMA, PFR supported the bill. But however, they've made additional inputs around definitions, for instance, that they would want definitions to be revised, and they've made, in particular PFI and AFMA, they've made suggestions a number of definitions that we have on the bill, and from the document that we have forwarded, we have indicated that a lot of those amendments around the definitions, I think those issues were also raised by the contact advisor, that we accept or we agree with the comments that we can, and that we will revise the definitions. There are issues around the advisory council. There is a few that it is too big. Others feel that it needs to be split into two. And there are issues around the share, which I think as DAF now have considered or accepted that perhaps we then need to review the composition of the council, and the council itself will then need to appoint its own chair. Requirements for licensing or registration, in particular the requirement of facilities that are sitting outside this country. We as DAF does concede that perhaps when we drafted the bill, we mainly then were focusing on the requirements for the facilities that are residing within a republic. What we now have indicated in terms of the written submission that we have made is that perhaps we need to review how DAF is going to deal with facilities that are residing outside the country. So that would be one issue that we need to think about, how we are going to make sure that the requirements that we are making for people who are residing in the countries are also requirements that are imposed for those industries or people that are residing outside the country. The one issue that has been raised around the issues of levy, because we are proposing in the legislation that governments need to move towards what is called cost recovery, because implementing laws or enforcing laws is quite expensive. Throughout the world, countries have moved towards what is called cost recovery. We then have proposed that we need to deal with it in terms of collecting fees through tonnage or auditing fees. Some comments that came is that one need to consider whether can through this bill one implement collecting of fees. And there's a suggestion that perhaps you need a totally different law to deal with this aspect. So what we have indicated is that we will consult Treasury so that they will advise us how we can check this issue for it. But the issue here is about cost recovery, that the state needs to cover its cost in terms of running legislations. I'm not going to cover on the issues of editorials that we have accepted that we will make those amendments. The RMIF, from the beginning, they have been the main stakeholders that did not support the bill. Their position is that home mixers or self-mixers should be excluded from the bill. They are of the view that if farmers buy seeds that are registered, one would have been able to deal with the risk associated with it. So their view is that farmers should be exempted from the bill. Our view is that the biggest challenge in this country in relation to ensuring food safety is because the current legislation that we have got no authority or no jurisdiction as to what farmers do. In other words, farmers in this country are allowed to do or to mix what they have. If for example, you've got products that are banned because of health risks, farmers are allowed to use those products because the current legislation have got no jurisdiction as to what farmers does in relation to the dealing with the issues of the feed. You can imagine that in this country you have got broilers, I'm not going to mention names maybe, and feedlots. We have got no jurisdiction. Farmers can use whatever substance as they wish without regulators having any position as far as what farmers does at that level. So what is important is that we are proposing that there should be control measures even at that level. We can debate what level of controls need to be in place. Our view as DAF is that there need to be control measures so that we can be able to trace in case when there are issues or food safety issues, we could be able to trace back to any individual farmer in relation to any food risk issues that can emanate. In terms of the Fertilizer Society,
What they've indicated is that they were not properly consulted, and we were a little bit surprised that they were not consulted, because they did wrote a letter to us to indicate that they support the bill when we consulted with them. So we were a little bit surprised that now they are taking a different view. However, their view now is that the bill needs to be separated. In addition, they are of the view that they would want us to maintain the current product registration system. In terms of clarifications, there are issues around the collections of levies, capacity of DAF, and the implications of the bill, costs to the DAF and also to the industry. As I've already said, the issue around the requirements, in particular those facilities that are started without the countries. In terms of the consultation, and this is one issue that have raised a number of occasions, we started this process in 2006. As you made aware that even the process has started before in the 80s, but within the current administration, the process started around 2006, where we decided to review the legislation, because the current legislation is 67 years old. We started with the animal feed policy, which was consulted. And that process then followed by the drafting of the bill, where it was gazetted. And stakeholders made their inputs. During that process, in particular around 2009 and 2010, it was mainly the RMIF which was opposing the bill. And their issues were around the unintended consequences in relation to the competition issue. We also felt at that stage that is valid. We then invited the Competition Commission so that they could then advise us if they believe that by having this bill, this could result in unintended consequences. Following the meeting that we had, they were of the view that they do not think that this bill will introduce or will result in any uncompetitive behavior. Now, in terms of our process, we did make inputs on the bill and then send it to the state law advisor for their inputs and certification. I must say that the revised bill included or embraced inputs from the stakeholders and the state law advisor. The issue here is the current bill that is tabled here in Parliament. It is different from the one that we discussed with the stakeholders. In our view, we don't believe that there are substantial differences in terms of the two bills that we discussed with stakeholders. And hence, we did not think that it is important that we needed to send back the bill back to the stakeholder after the state law advisor have made their final input. Otherwise, our process would have been to and fro between stakeholders and ourselves. So I must emphasize the point here that the stakeholders supported the technical aspect of the bill. What is now evident is that when the stakeholders, together with ourselves, now when we look at this bill, from the legal point of view, and I must emphasize, from the legal point of view, there are aspects that need to be addressed. And as DAF, we concede that there are aspects that need to be addressed. Because the stakeholders have supported the technical aspect of the bill. However, there are legal issues now that when stakeholders now look at this bill, those issues need to be attended. We must concede that we did not consult the province of farmers, even the agriculture industry, because this is one industry that I think is growing in South Africa. Considering the comment from the portfolio committee members and stakeholders, we believe that this process, we should ensure that there is fair consultation.
We can be guided by the particular committee in terms of how to initiate this.
Given that there is an issue of consultation that has been raised as a concern, the taking of the bill, because I would imagine that if the bill now is taken to section 76, there is now implication to the province. And given other substantive issues that have now been seen by the